listening to Vet Candy.
You are listening to Vet Candy Magazine Special Edition Fashion. This program is brought to you by Merck Animal Health. Welcome to the world of Vet Candy. Not very long ago, fashion in the medical world was non-existent. Scrubs were boxy, ill-fitting, and mostly came in unflattering shades of bile green. Fortunately, with the passage of time, medical fashion has evolved. Now we have choices that include fashionable, trendy scrubs with flattering fits and a rainbow assortment of available colors. We all deserve to look and feel good at work. Fashion is a way we can express our personalities. Without it, we would be indistinguishable from our coworkers. And as you'll find out in this issue, fashion can also exhibit one's beliefs and values. In this issue, we introduce you to twin veterinarians, Drs. Audrey and Allison Shen, who have teamed up with fashion expert and entrepreneur Rebecca Lau Marsh to create 21 Scrubs, a company that offers a range of stylish and fashion-savvy scrubs that are practical, flattering, comfortable, and durable. There's even a jumpsuit for the ladies that can be matched with a pair of heels and worn from day to night. We also introduce you to veterinary fashionistas, including Shermaine Wilson Cox, who has created a modern line of Afrocentric medical scrubs featuring Pan-African prints of gold, red, and green, as well as Dr. Lori Sullivan, who is focused on sustainability by introducing a line of eco-friendly surgical caps. As always, I would like to thank my assistant editor, Shannon Gregoire, and our amazing team of writers. I hope this issue brings you as much joy as we had creating it. Dr. Audrey and Dr. Allison are leading a revolution, by A.M. Kuska. Dr. Audrey and Dr. Allison are already famous for their role on the popular TV show Bondi Vets. These twins have been working in the vet industry for over 15 years and are no strangers to the ups and downs of their work. One of the things that frustrated them was the scrubs. What should have been a professional uniform that was comfortable, clean, smart, durable, and practical for every day was quickly becoming a hairy, soiled, uncomfortable mess. They decided to team up with fashion designer Rebecca Lau Marsh to make a change. They shared with Rebecca the many problems that traditional scrubs seem to have. Traditional scrubs seem to attract fur rather than repel it. They also looked like pajamas and seemed to absorb the stains and liquids that occur in a common veterinary setting. With Rebecca's help, they set out to fix these things. Their new style of scrubs features pockets big enough to carry essential items, repel dirt and stains, are waterproof, quick drying, stretch, and are also stylish enough to fit a modern setting. Need to squat down to examine a patient? The pants are squat-proof with four-way stretch. No more splits at inopportune moments while trying to work with the animals you love. Best of all, the scrubs are durable enough to wash every day and are quick drying and crease proof. No more rushing to wash and dry your scrubs. The line also features their signature and original jumpsuit scrubs, stylish enough to take you from day to night and convenient enough to zip on and off between shifts. All the 21 Scrubs range have their unique stethoscope holders that help secure them in place around the shoulders. The new line of scrubs is called 21 Scrubs and can be viewed on Instagram at 21 Scrubs. Changing how we think about the vet industry. Our world has fundamentally changed. We have new equipment to help monitor pets and give them a better quality of life. We have a recent influx of new patients as COVID-19 brings a surge of pandemic pets to an already stressed system. It makes little to no sense that the simplest part of your day, what you choose to wear, is unrefined by comfort or technology. Dr. Audrey and Dr. Allison also work as a mobile vet service, which often means restricted spaces and the need to maximize the potential in every aspect of their business. These scrubs are designed to make that life easier, so you're thinking less about what you're wearing and more about what you're doing. About the twins. Dr. Audrey and Dr. Allison have a shared love of animals, but their passions are as unique as they are. Dr. Audrey enjoys surgery and loves working with dogs, especially chihuahuas. And she owns a geriatric chihuahua, Peanut, a rabbit, Charlotte, and a rescue cat, Maggot. Dr. Allison is also a certified veterinary acupuncturist who owns two guinea pigs, Pineapple and Coconut, and a rescue greyhound named Billy. Their pets are very mischievous and often find themselves in trouble, which makes them very lucky to have vets as their moms. The Shen sisters have done amazing work in their career. Time after time, they've seen a pressing need in the veterinary field and delivered on it. When they saw a need for a mobile vet to provide a complete and high standard of veterinary care in Australia, they found a mobile vet service to help with that need. They also run a Future Vet Kids Camp, which is a unique kids camp to inspire, educate, and nurture the love of animals in children aged 9 to 16 years of age. Their new scrubs line is just one more example of their dedication to the field and their effort to help solve problems of both the veterinary community and the people who use their services. Our Favorite Shoes for Work by Keith Lutz. If there's one negative about veterinary work, it's that you don't get to wear the most exciting clothing. That's okay. You're bringing animals back to health and bringing joy to their families in the process. You don't need to be fashionable. But there's also nothing wrong with it, and there's certainly nothing amiss with being comfortable either. One thing that every veterinarian professional will tell you is that their work shoes can either be a source of great pain or comfort, fashionable or not. But just in case you want something that achieves both, we've got an awesome list of 5 different styles of veterinary shoes for professionals to wear at work that meets those criteria. Merrell Women's Moab 2 Waterproof Hiking Shoe. With a Vibram rubber sole and air cushioning to boot, these shoes are serious. Waterproof, durable, and fashionable enough, this shoe is a true workhorse for people who are on their feet for much of the day, with notable arch support. Of course, there are some trade-offs. That comes in the form of the shoe being a bit heftier than its competitors. This style cuts a great balance between fashion and function that we think most veterinary professionals will appreciate. Marzvovo Women's Non-Slip Sneakers Lightweight Air-Knitted Walking Running Shoes. If you want some variety in your work shoes, then the Marzvovo is made for you. A cost-effective pair of work shoes, these are often touted alongside the Merrell and Keen work shoes for their lightweight application that doesn't sacrifice utility. Breathable, stylish, and in a wide range of colors that would make Nike blush, the Marzvovo's only real complaints are that it won't last as long as its bulkier brethren and don't provide nearly the same level of arch support. Keen Women's Targi 2 Hiking Shoe. Everything we love about the Merrell Moab 2, but with superior ankle support. These waterproof shoes are made to go for the long haul. These shoes provide great stability during the day on wet and dry surfaces and have an aesthetic that looks more like an athletic walking shoe than it does a hiking shoe. However, some common complaints about the shoe are that it does tend to run wide in terms of sizing and can be bulky in the heel region.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy.
The
Vet Candy IRL is an exciting podcast from the hearts, minds, and mouths of Shannon Gregoire, Tatiana Rogers, and Lexi Rodriguez. The show celebrates inspirational role models and focuses on empowerment and equality. Check it out on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and more.
Blood transfusions in cats. Blood transfusions are a common procedure in medical practice in which donated blood is used to replace blood loss to injury or surgery, or to treat serious medical conditions. The procedure is not performed routinely in the treatment of pet cats, but, as in people, it can be life-saving. The availability of donors has been a limitation in primary care veterinary practice, but with the growth of blood banks providing greater access to feline blood, the procedure is likely to become more commonplace. To address the need for authoritative guidance, not only on best practice, but also some important considerations beyond the clinical procedure itself, the International Society of Feline Medicine, ISFM, has today published consensus guidelines in the Journal of Feline Medicine and Surgery, JFMS. The authors, an international panel of veterinary experts with individual expertise in infectious disease, anesthesia, critical care, and medicine, have cumulative clinical experience in the collection of blood and administration of transfusions gained in the treatment of thousands of feline patients. Blood is a precious resource harvested for the benefit of one cat, the recipient, with no benefit for the other, the donor. A basic tenet of the ISFM's advice is that the clinician has responsibility to care appropriately for both parties. Managing a patient that requires a blood product is clinically challenging. Identifying the need for a blood product is just the first step. The clinician needs to establish a clear-cut benefit to the recipient and, critically, must ensure that the type-compatible blood is administered. This requires blood typing of both the donor and recipient cat. Whether an individual is type AB or AB in the so-called AB blood group system that exists in cats is partly influenced by geography as well as by breed. Type A is the most common phenotype worldwide, and Siamese cats, for example, are believed to be exclusively type A. Type B is much lower in prevalence, although is reported to be not uncommon among non-pedigree cats in Australia, and also among British shorthair cats. Type AB is rare. Blood types arise due to genetically determined antigenic markers, alloantigens, present on the surface of red blood cells. Cats, unlike dogs, possess naturally occurring alloantibodies against foreign, non-self alloantigens. This complicates the process of blood transfusion and can lead to potentially fatal blood transfusion reactions. While the risk of a transfusion reaction increases with subsequent transfusions, a reaction may arise even with a first blood transfusion. In addition to blood typing, the guidelines discuss the benefit of cross-matching, whereby blood from the donor and recipient cat are mixed to test for a reaction before a transfusion is undertaken. They strongly recommend that cross-matching is undertaken for any recipient with an unknown transfusion history or that has had a previous transfusion reaction. One of the particular challenges surrounding blood transfusion in cats is that there are also risks to the donor in terms of the sedation that is often required, as well as the venipuncture and removal of the blood itself. Although careful technique can help mitigate the risks, this represents a relatively unique situation in clinical veterinary practice in that a specific intervention has no benefit for the donor animal. Indeed, in an accompanying appendix discussing the ethical considerations of blood transfusion, the guidelines acknowledged that donor may be inappropriate in this context, as it implies consent or a gift that cats themselves are unable to decide to give. Harvesting may be a more accurate, albeit less comfortable, term for blood collection. Often, donors are cats owned by clinic staff or other cats belonging to the owners of recipient cats. Sometimes donor cats may be volunteered after a public appeal. Many veterinary clinics maintain a register of suitable donors to call upon when needed. In some areas, unowned cats may also be used. The guidelines emphasize that the clinician's duty of care extends to the owner or caretaker of the donor cat, who must be well informed of the process and risks. To assist in this, International Cat Care, the parent charity of ISFM, has created a resource available at icatcare.org/advice/cat-carer-guides. Explaining what to expect if owners are considering volunteering their cat as a blood donor, or indeed if their cat is requiring a blood transfusion. Where pre-collected blood products are purchased via a blood bank, the provenance of the blood products and welfare of the donor supplying the blood bank must likewise be confirmed by the clinician. Well-informed decision-making around the use of blood products in cats requires the veterinary clinician to carefully balance the clinical benefit to the recipient cat, the suitability and welfare of the donor cat, and the ethical justification of the procedure. The aim of these new guidelines is both to facilitate this process and to help ensure that the health and well-being of recipient and donor cats is equally prioritized. 5 Tips for a Closet Makeover, Michaela Bolker. Ladies, the struggle to organize our closet is real. Luckily, there are so many ways to turn your closet into a safe haven that makes you feel fabulous, no matter whether you're wearing a ball gown or sweats. Keep reading for 5 tips on how to give your closet a glam makeover. Color coordinate. The first step to making a closet look cool, calm, and collected is through a great color palette. Find a color scheme that you like and then accessorize accordingly. Whether it be the bins, the hangers, or color coordinating the clothes itself, finding a color palette for your closet makes it inviting. Stupendous storage. Storage is key to any closet. The perfect closet is organized yet functional. Whether it be color coordination, adding bins, or hanging clothes in a specific order, find a system that works for you and stick to it. Fun but functional. Accessorize when possible. One creative way to do this is by using your jewelry as decoration. For instance, hang your pearls on the walls of your closet as a display. You can also do this with hats. Hang them up on the closet walls like they're a picture. Or get a big statement mirror to hang on the closet door. Personalize. Your closet is your own, so always do what works best for you. Don't be afraid to mess around with different ideas until you find something that works for your closet and lifestyle. Less stress labeling. Less stress labeling. Label your closet items. Ultimately, labeling items will make laundry day or digging around in the dark in the morning a much easier experience, especially if you share your closet with someone else. Let's get to glamming. How to Find the Perfect Scrubs for Your Body Type by Keith Lutz. Finding the perfect scrub for your body type is often about more than just comfort. As a functional work garment, scrubs help keep you clean, professional, and hopefully comfortable throughout your workday. One issue that many people encounter when purchasing scrubs is that they don't know how to shape the appropriate scrubs for their body type. This often goes beyond sizing and into more general areas, such as what kind of body type you might have, as well as what feels comfortable to you. We will discuss the 3 common body types and how they relate to your purchase of work scrubs, not to mention some insights into what might work best for you. V-shaped body type. People with a V-shaped body type tend to have very wide shoulders and a narrow waist. This is often accompanied by a broader chest and sometimes fuller hips. Often referred to as the athletic body type, you often see this on basketball players and professional swimmers. Finding scrubs to fit this body type means you need to accommodate a large chest and full hips. A tight upper garment will not only be uncomfortable, but also hamper mobility. Tightness in the hips will do the same, aside from looking awkward. For women in this category, both the mock wrap and empire waist work well for the top garment. For the bottom garments, cargo, straight, wide, and flare leg pants work well. For men falling into this category, polo shirt styles, layered V-necks, and unisex tops work best, while cargo, fitted, and drawstring options tend to work best for the bottom half. Pear and/or apple body type. Pear and apple body types are often used interchangeably, although they mean different things. A pear body type is where a person is smaller at the chest and shoulders and fuller at the waist and hips. Conversely, an apple body type means that a person has a wider chest and broader shoulders, a less defined waist, and tapering as you reach the waist and hips. For a pear body type, scrubs that are looser in the bottom garment and stretchable or breathable will work best, while those people with an apple body type need something looser and wider in the upper garment area. For pants, we recommend drawstring and relaxed fits for apple body types and straight, flare, and wide leg pants for pear. Hourglass body type. When you have wide shoulders, a broad chest, wide hips, and a defined waist, then you have what is called an hourglass body type. You will want garments that are loose and breathable in both the upper and lower sections with a focus on movability. We suggest stretchable fabrics in a mock wrap or empire waist with wide straight or flare leg pants. General tips for finding a pair of scrubs for you. Overall, you'll want to make sure your scrubs allow you maximum maneuverability while also being comfortable for long periods of time. Depending on your shift, this could be anywhere from 8 to 12 hours, so you will want to pay attention to things such as the fabric and breathability of the pieces in general. Cavalier King Charles Spaniels carry more harmful genetic variants than other breeds. Recent dog breeding practices have loaded up Cavalier King Charles Spaniels with disease-causing mutations, including variants linked to the common heart condition Myxomatous Mitral Valve Disease, MMVD. Eric Axelson of Uppsala University and colleagues published these new findings on September 2nd in the journal PLOS Genetics. The past 300 years of dog breeding have created an incredible diversity of breeds with various sizes, shapes, and abilities. Unfortunately, this process has also caused many breeds to become more inbred and more likely to inherit genetic diseases. The study's researchers wanted to know whether recent breeding practices had increased the number of disease-causing variants in dogs. They sequenced entire genomes from 20 dogs from 8 common breeds, such as beagles, German shepherds, and golden retrievers. They found that the Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, which experienced the most intense breeding, carried more harmful genetic variants than the other breeds they examined. The researchers also looked for genetic variants in the Cavalier King Charles Spaniel genomes linked to MMVD. In this condition, the mitral valve in the heart degenerates, allowing blood to leak from the left ventricle back into the left atrium. They identified 2 genetic variants linked to the disease, which appear to regulate a gene that codes for a common protein in the heart muscle. The findings offer a potential explanation for why the Cavalier King Charles Spaniel is predisposed to develop the disease. The especially large number of potentially harmful genes in the genomes of Cavalier King Charles Spaniels compared to other dogs likely resulted from its breeding history. Records suggest that small spaniel-type dogs have existed for at least 1,000 years and were popular at royal courts for several hundred years throughout Asia and Europe, including at the court of King Charles II, 1630 to 1685. These spaniels experienced several bottlenecks where only a small percentage of the population passed on their genes to the next generation. The bottlenecks may have made the harmful genes more common in the Cavalier King Charles Spaniel genome before the dog achieved recognition as a breed in 1945. Axelson adds, "We find that recent breeding may have led to an accelerated accumulation of harmful mutations in certain dog breeds. In the Cavalier King Charles Spaniel specifically, one or several of these mutations affect heart muscle protein NEBL and may predispose this breed to devastating heart disease."
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy.
Hi, this is Dr. Jessica Turner, and I want to tell you about my new show, Living Well with Dr. Jessica. We talk about life, love, and living your healthiest life. Check it out on Vet Candy Radio or a podcast platform of your choice.
How to get ready in 15 minutes or less. Michaela Bolker. Only have 15 minutes to get ready? Whether you missed your alarm or were invited to an event at the last minute, getting ready quickly is possible. Here are 5 quick tips to get ready in 15 minutes or less. Hair. There are so many hairstyles that take just a few minutes. Consider wearing your hair half up, half down, in a high ponytail, or down. If you want to make a statement, wear a cute hat, headband, or head wrap. Lastly, remember that dry shampoo is your best friend. Just a few spritzes can make your hair look clean, fresh, and voluminous. Outfit. You can never go wrong with basics. A simple white tee, a pair of blue jeans, and a nice pair of shoes, such as boots, flats, or fashion sneakers, will never go out of style. Otherwise, just grab your favorite go-to outfit and you're all set. Makeup. When you only have 15 minutes to get ready, keep your makeup minimal. Hit all the basics like moisturizer, cover-up, mascara, and lip balm. These should be enough to keep you looking refreshed and put together. If you want to add some oomph, throw on a dash of lip color or eyeshadow. Purse. Make sure you pack your purse the night before. That way you won't be frantically searching the house for your keys or chapstick when you don't have time. There you have it, 5 tips for 15 minutes. How to make your scrubs reflect your personality type. Keith Lutz. Scrubs aren't the most exciting work garment out there, but that doesn't mean they have to be totally boring. Of course, you'll want to conform to any standards and dress codes established by your place of work. But as long as you aren't breaking the rules, who says you shouldn't have a little bit of fun with your work attire? The only real question is what to do to make them more exciting. We have a couple of suggestions for you, 5 to be exact, and we think they'll help you to at least get started on the path towards thinking more creatively about your work attire. Here are 5 of our favorite ways to make your scrubs more exciting. Switch up colors and prints. This might seem like a simple suggestion, but it can have a huge impact on your scrubs in terms of presentation. Try mixing and matching different colors and prints to create bold, dynamic styles. We recommend going for complementary colors so that you give off a chic, composed vibe. Or you could go all out with a full neon orange pair of scrubs or a wild print. Add some buttons and badges. Again, you'll want to make sure you're adhering to workplace policies, but some fun buttons and badges are a very easy way to add personality to an otherwise boring outfit. What you choose is up to you, but some fun suggestions we imagine would be something like cartoon characters or heroes if you work with children, or something that advertises your love of animals. Add a fun scrub jacket. Aside from giving you more buttons to work with and thus more functionality, scrub jackets can add a quick pop of personality that can also be easily removed, should the circumstances require it. To be honest, we love the extra functionality these jackets give us. And if we can make them more fun in the process, why not? Graphic tops. Whether you want something like an animal print or a geometric pattern, graphic tops can look fun or fashionable depending on what you're looking for in a scrub garment. If you're after a pattern like stripes, dots, or something a little more out there like color blocks, graphic tops are a fun, quick way to add personality to your outfit. Best of all is that most of them probably already work with your existing scrub bottoms, so no need to go out and buy a whole new outfit just to look fashionable. Bold colors. We hinted at this in our suggestion about switching up colors and prints, but we're going to take it a little bit further here. We all know what the standard scrub colors are, and we know what will stand out from that pack. Think subtle hues of blue and purple or varying shades of green. You'll be amazed at how you can stand out just by going a shade lighter or darker than the standard uniform. It's not a lot of effort, but you'll be unique among those who have chosen the more tried and true route. Aside from that, you could aim for chic colors such as blacks trimmed in silver or other fashionable looks. A holistic approach. A couple of things to keep in mind when shopping for scrubs is that you want them to be functionable and comfortable. If they're fashionable and fun, those are bonus points. Also, don't forget about accessories, if they're allowed. Often, it's the subtle touches to our daily outfits that make the most impact. Why we need more culture in our profession. Dr. Shermaine Wilson Cox. Some people are better at creating change than others. They're the ones that see something missing from the world and instantly make plans to fill the gap. They're people like Dr. Shermaine Wilson Cox, who founded Sankofa Medical Scrubs after she found that most scrub fashions didn't fit her personality. Through Sankofa, Dr. Shermaine was able to deliver a modern line of Afrocentric medical scrubs featuring Pan-African prints of gold, red, and green. What inspired me to create my designs? Working in a clinic, we have to wear scrubs on a daily basis. I would wear African print headbands or wraps to express my style, but trying to match those with my scrubs was near impossible. The printed scrubs I would find had cartoon characters, flowers, or superheroes, and although they were cute, they didn't represent my style. While searching online for African print scrubs, I found that the selection was very limited, especially those that have a modern, tailored fit. That's when I decided to make a line myself. Why we need fashionable scrubs. The way we dress can express our heritage, culture, and style. I believe that when you are wearing something you like, it makes you more confident, and that energy transfers to your life and your work. Simply put, when you look good, you feel good, and when you feel good, you do good. What is so different about Sankofa? Sankofa scrubs contain a vibrant African kente print that relates back to my African ancestors. I used African prints so that medical professionals of color would wear them and feel a sense of pride and empowerment. It took a lot for African Americans to get to the point where we were allowed to go to medical schools and practice medicine. I feel that showing pride in our culture is a way of giving thanks to our ancestors, because without them, we would not be where we are today. What I do in my spare time. I am a mom of a very active 3-year-old son. Family time is a priority for us, and we love being outdoors, either going to the park or pool. We also love to check out family-friendly activities around our community. My husband and I also have a passion for travel. I spent 4 years working as a flight attendant before attending Tuskegee for veterinary school, and he drives trucks for a living. so together we know all the best travel secrets. The best career advice I ever received: never stop learning. Don't ever think you can get to a point where you know everything, because that will never happen. Veterinary medicine is constantly changing. Keep an open mind to learning and always be teachable. My advice to my younger self: no matter what you may go through in life, no matter the obstacle or struggle, don't let it keep you down and never give up. Continue to move forward and reach for your goals. Taking micro steps toward your goals and dreams is much better than taking no steps at all. Washington State University spearheads new toolkit for One Health, Courtney Stanley. Sarah brings her ferret Izzy into the veterinary clinic for a checkup because he hasn't been feeling well. During the veterinary visit, Izzy is diagnosed with the flu, an illness that can go back and forth between humans and ferrets. Although Sarah didn't plan to meet with the nurse practitioner, she really only came in for Izzy, the nurse practitioner at the clinic is able to meet with Sarah in the adjacent room and is able to diagnose Sarah with the flu as well. At the One Health clinic, Sarah doesn't need to make an appointment or go to another location for her health care, since all the care is in one location. This easy access to healthcare is the norm at the One Health Clinic in Seattle. The clinic offers integrated healthcare for people experiencing homelessness with pets. The unique side-by-side model of care means clients like Sarah and Izzy can get both their healthcare needs met at one place and at one time. It's somewhere her veterinary and human healthcare team can create a health plan that benefits them both. People experiencing homelessness will prioritize caring for their pet rather than themselves, shared Dr. Katie Kuehl, clinical faculty at the Washington State University College of Veterinary Medicine. Our team builds trust with the clients so they are more comfortable accessing healthcare. When the person cares for themselves, they can better meet the needs of their pet as well as access other services to move toward housing stability. The One Health Clinic launched in 2018 with a goal of improving healthcare outcomes for people and their pets. Medical professionals and veterinarians, both students and clinicians, work together to understand the needs of the person, the animal, and issues that impact both. The interdisciplinary approach to healthcare is critical, says Dr. Peter Rabinowitz, director of the University of Washington Center for One Health Research. We are bringing together students from medicine, nursing, pharmacy, social work, and veterinary medicine to learn how they can best offer health care. This integrated approach is important for students to learn as they consider how to increase access to care for underserved communities. The team knew that creating a clinic wasn't enough. They documented everything, resulting in an online toolkit so people in other communities can design integrated healthcare clinics. The free toolkit, www.onehealthclinic.org, offers guidance for organizations at all stages of clinic development, from initial meetings to logistics. The team is working with communities across the country to pilot One Health clinics. These clinics will increase access to healthcare for underserved populations. We have seen the youth and young adults in our community benefit from the One Health clinic integrating with our existing human-only healthcare clinic, states Katie Schneier, NeighborCare Health Clinic Administrator. Before, they may not have accessed care for themselves, but the access to veterinary care brings them into the clinic, and their just say hello policy has the owners meeting with our nurse practitioner. And that meeting may turn into a visit this time, or maybe next time. We estimate our client numbers have increased 42% since the One Health Clinic started. The One Health Clinic started as a partnership between the University of Washington Center for One Health Research and Washington State University College of Veterinary Medicine to explore integrated human and veterinary healthcare for people experiencing homelessness. Partners for the Seattle Clinic includes NeighborCare Health as the human healthcare partner and is held at New Horizons, a youth and young adult shelter and service provider. The pilot program was funded by a grant from the Banfield Foundation and the Population Health Initiative. The toolkit creation was supported by PetSmart Charities. 5 healthy and delicious snacks you must try. Michaela Bolker. Contrary to popular belief, healthy snacks don't need to sacrifice flavor. Here are 5 snack ideas that are easy, fast, and tasty. 1. Apples and celery and peanut butter. Apples and peanut butter are a classic. There's just something about the combo of the crunch of an apple with the creamy peanut butter. Other variations to this delicious duo are apples and caramel or celery and peanut butter. To spice things up, add dark chocolate or shredded coconut on top. 2. Acai bowls. Acai bowls are full of vitamins, probiotics, and fiber. To make the acai bowl, just find your favorite yogurt flavor and top it with fruits, from blueberries and bananas to pomegranates and mangoes. You can get creative with acai bowls. You can even add granola or flaxseed to amp up the health benefits of your bowl. 3. Granola. Granola is an excellent healthy snack option because you can either buy it or make it yourself. Depending on your favorite flavor, granola can be sweet or savory. Homemade granola bars are fantastic because you can limit the number of artificial flavorings and sugar that many store-bought versions have. Some ideas include oatmeal honey granola or almond chocolate granola. 4. Veggies and dip. Veggies and dip are a great strategy to get your greens in. There are a lot of healthy dip options around nowadays, from light ranch dressing to hummus. If you want an all-natural, dairy-free dip option, go with hummus. 5. Roasted chickpeas. Packed with protein and crunch, roasted chickpeas are an underrated alternative to chips. Simply drizzle canned chickpeas with olive oil, then put them in the oven until they're crispy. Next, cover them in your favorite spices, such as chili powder or garlic powder, and you're all set to snack. Meet the veterinarian who's bringing eco-fashion to the surgery table, Dr. Jill Lopez. Dr. Laura Sullivan wants to change the world, whether it's through caring for pets in the poorest areas of the world or creating eco-friendly veterinary apparel. This veterinarian is committed to helping others. Last year, Dr. Laura spent 2 months in Sri Lanka treating sick and injured animals. She also helps raise much-needed money for We Care Worldwide, a charity that aims to reduce the incidence of rabies in developing countries. On top of that, she recently created a line of eco-friendly surgery caps with her brand All Scrubbed Up. We caught up with Dr. Laura to learn more. Why I created All Scrubbed Up. I started All Scrubbed Up with a vision of bringing fun, positivity, and glam to vet life. As someone who loves performing surgery, I saw there was a need for comfortable caps that could be worn throughout the workday. I also wanted to help contribute in some small way to reducing waste from the use of disposable items. This waste contributes to landfills, while emissions are created via the incineration of clinical waste. So, when you choose to use one of my caps instead of using hundreds of disposable ones, you're actually making a big impact. Why I think veterinary professionals need fashion in their lives. I think fashionable vet wear can help us feel good about ourselves. That is very important, especially on stressful days. Popping on a snazzy scrub cap can brighten up a set of plain scrubs or work uniform and spread a bit of joy to your day. It's also a nice way to showcase your personality. What makes All Scrubbed Up caps different? A lot of love and attention goes into each and every cap. They are made of high-quality material, lined, and machine washable. They also are fitted and shaped to your head. I really love the fact that they're super comfortable and don't slip like the disposable ones do. I also pick bespoke fabrics for the caps, and I match the design to clients' requests based on their interests. everyone has different tastes. One person may prefer a soft floral theme, while another wants a medieval dragon pattern with skulls. Why I am happy to be a veterinarian. My favorite thing about being a veterinarian is being able to use my skills to be able to give back to those less fortunate. I get a massive sense of fulfillment from volunteering with We Care Worldwide, and I want to continue to support them on their clinical team. What I do in my spare time. I love to travel. I recently visited Slovenia and Estonia, which are both amazingly beautiful places. Last year, I spent 2 months volunteering in Sri Lanka and 2 months working as a locum surgeon in Bermuda. I also enjoy scuba diving and paddleboarding. But since I live in the UK and not a hot tropical area, it is too darn cold most of the time to enjoy these activities. The best advice I ever received. Someone once told me that there's always a reason why someone behaves the way they do. Other people's actions or negativity is actually a reflection of themselves. My advice to my younger self: don't sweat the small stuff. Being a veterinarian is great, but it's hard work, sometimes sad, and sometimes very tough. While it is super rewarding, it's only one facet of our lives. You are more than just a veterinary professional.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy.
Hello, this is Caitlin Palmer. You probably know me as the desk wench. You know, the sweet TikTok receptionist who has to deal with the evil Karen Stevens. Well, if you like that, you are going to love my new podcast, Desk Wench Confessions. On my show, I have funny guests who tell me about their own Karens. Plus, we have contests, giveaways, and skits. Trust me, you are going to love it. Check it out on a podcast platform of your choice on Vet Candy Radio.
How a dog with a giant tongue was saved by a veterinary surgeon. Angela Nelson. This is a story of a dog with an enormous tongue and the veterinary surgeon who performed a groundbreaking surgery to help him. Raymond Kadej is a professor and small animal surgeon at Cummings School of Veterinary Medicine, who often works with brachycephalic or short-headed dog breeds, such as bulldogs, pugs, and Boston terriers. The shape of their heads makes these breeds prone to breathing and other upper airway problems. A few years ago, he read a study published in the journal Veterinary Surgery, in which veterinarians measured the volume of tongues in relation to the area of airways in 16 brachycephalic dogs. They found that the proportion of air to soft tissue in brachycephalic dogs was decreased by approximately 60% compared to dogs with a medium-sized skull. This paper was the first to objectively assess that the relative size of the tongue is becoming obstructive in these dogs, but it didn't talk about ways to make it smaller, Kadej said. My first thought was that a tongue reduction might work. The idea came from his investigation into the conditions of sleep apnea in humans. Humans have fat cells in the base of the tongue, and weight gain can cause that area of the tongue to get bigger. One potential treatment for sleep apnea patients is to surgically reduce the size of the tongue to make breathing easier. There are different types of tongue reduction surgeries for humans, so Kadej launched a research study to explore the method he thought would be the most effective on a brachycephalic dog. He examined the safety and beneficial effects of the procedures on animal cadavers donated to the Henry and Lois Foster Hospital for Small Animals for teaching and research. That's when a phone call came into the hospital from someone who needed help with a dog whose tongue was so big he could barely eat. A serendipitous meeting. The caller was Maureen Salzillo, director of Operation Possibility Project, an animal rescue organization based in Rhode Island. She had recently rescued a year-old pit bull named Bentley, who needed medical care. His tongue was so big that it hung out of his mouth all the time, and he took more than 30 minutes to eat just one bowl of food. Dogs are stoic, she said. He figured it out. To eat or drink, he had to plunge his whole face into the bowl, and it made such a mess. He couldn't swallow right away, and he drooled in such copious amounts it took multiple towels to mop it up. Salzio wanted Bentley to be more comfortable, and she took him to a few different veterinarians for help. One took a biopsy of Bentley's tongue, but the results didn't reveal any issues. Another suggested that Bentley was tongue-tied, a condition that limits tongue mobility and can be corrected with a surgical procedure. But Salzio, an experienced dog owner, had a hunch that mobility wasn't the issue. In the meantime, we changed Bentley's food and put him on allergy medication because, in addition to the tongue, his muzzle was so swollen, she said. We changed him to a specialty dog food for dogs with sensitive skin and allergies. It helped the muzzle problem, but it didn't help the tongue. When she called the Foster Hospital for Small Animals an appointment, she said she spoke with a liaison and thoroughly detailed Bentley's medical history. The liaison forwarded her information to Kudej, who immediately called her back. That's where the sense of serendipity came in. I'm in the middle of this research, and here's this dog with an enlarged tongue as a clinical case. It's such a rare thing, Kudej said. By November 2020, amid the COVID-19 pandemic, Salzio brought Bentley for an examination at Tufts, where Kudej agreed the dog was not tongue-tied. He just had a humongous tongue. Bentley's tongue was so heavy that the sheer weight of it pushing down on his teeth constantly caused them to grow sideways at a 90-degree angle. In addition, his mandible, which is normally the shape of a small bowl that holds the tongue, was completely flat. The dog was suffering, Kudej said. There were ulcers on the surface of his tongue from trauma associated with it just being so big. The animal shelter printed t-shirts with Bentley's face on them as part of a fundraiser for his medical care. Photo courtesy of Maureen Salzio. He told Salzio that he had never done a tongue reduction surgery on a patient, although he had practiced on the donated cadavers. Knowing the unprecedented nature of the procedure, she was willing to let Kudej go forward with it. The surgery would be expensive, and the specialty dog food needed to keep Bentley's allergies in check was also expensive. So Salzio began fundraising for Bentley's medical costs. She printed up t-shirts that had Bentley's face on them with the words, "Save Bentley's Smile," and sold them on her social media channels. By February 2021, the shelter had raised most of the money needed for the operation. A first-of-its-kind surgery. An abnormally enlarged tongue is called macroglossia, and the surgery Kudej performed was a midline glossectomy, which reduces the size of the tongue by taking out tissue from the middle of the muscle as opposed to the sides, where arteries are located. Guided by a CT scan to avoid the arteries, Kudej was able to remove tissue from the center of the tongue to make it thinner and smaller. At first, Kudej wasn't sure if the surgery was successful. The first stage of healing is inflammation, so swelling was to be expected for the first few days. However, after the third day, the swelling started to decrease. After a week or so, Salzio was able to take Bentley home with her to oversee his continued recovery. However, caring for a 75-pound sick dog is no easy task. Bentley couldn't move his tongue in and out because the muscle of his tongue was still healing. He couldn't get his food down, so I made little meatballs out of his wet food, got him to open his mouth, and tossed them into the back of his mouth, she said. Eventually, Bentley made a full recovery and is now doing incredibly well. Salzio said his quality of life has improved dramatically, and he's like a different dog now. Although he continues to eat a specialized diet to keep his allergies in check, he even found a forever home with a loving family. Bentley is doing amazing, the family said in a statement. He is able to eat and drink much better. With his energy and attitude, he is like a puppy again. We are so grateful to Dr. Kadej and his team at Tufts for helping our boy live a better quality of life. It may have been the first canine tongue reduction surgery ever performed on a live patient. Kadej could not find such a surgery described anywhere in veterinary literature, although he acknowledges it's possible that the surgery was performed but not documented. In October, Kudej will present his research into tongue reduction surgeries on brachycephalic dogs and include Bentley's clinical case at the 2021 American College of Veterinary Surgeons Conference. In addition, an abstract of an upcoming paper will be published in Veterinary Surgery with lead author Valeria Kohlberg, a veterinary surgery intern who worked with Kudej on the research study. Bentley's case of macroglossia is one that I've never seen before and I'll probably never see again, said Kadej. I don't believe in fate, but sometimes the stars just line up.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy.
Hey, this is Shannon Gregoire. If you're like me, it's tough keeping up with everything VetMed, but now I'm going to make your life a lot easier. Check out my show on Vet Candy TV, available on iTunes, YouTube, IGTV, and Facebook Watch. Catch up with all things VetMed with me.
Thank you for listening to Vet Candy Magazine. To keep up to date with everything VetMed, follow us at MyVetCandy.
It's Vet Candy.
Vet Candy.
Vet Candy.
It's Vet Candy Radio.